All right, a little bit about theory. Now, the assumption that the blood pressure here and here are the same is based on the idea that the arteries are exactly the same. So we get some equations using Ohm's law. How many of you took physics in high school or college? What is Ohm's law? Don't remember? Okay, the idea is it's an electrical conduction, and the idea is that resistance times flow equals pressure. So in terms of electricity, it's your voltage equals the flow times the resistance, amperage times resistance. Now, in blood pressure, it's the pressure equals the cardiac output, the flow, times the resistance. And this is Ohm's law. So you can break cardiac output into stroke volume and heart rate. So blood pressure would equal stroke rate or stroke volume times heart rate times total peripheral resistance. Now, what's the problem with that concept of total peripheral resistance?
It doesn't exist.
There's no such thing as total peripheral resistance. Every time you move down the length of an artery, guess what's happening to that artery? It's changing. Its size is changing and its structure is changing. So when you measure pressures at different places, you're getting different kinds of pressures because those arteries are different. Here's an example. It's not a very good drawing. But the farther away you get from the heart in an artery, the more muscular that artery is becoming. Now, when you first start out in the aorta and the carotid, those arteries are very elastic and very stretchy. They don't have as much muscle. They have a lot more elastic fibers. As you get down into the arm and the radial, like the brachial and the radial arteries, the femoral arteries, those arteries are muscular, but they're designed just to kind of shunt blood on down. They don't want the blood to stop there. They want it to keep going. Then as you get down to the very smallest arteries, what do we call those? Arterioles. Their job is to actually regulate blood flow to that tissue. So they are very contractile in terms of opening up and closing down, constricting and vasodilating. Under the control of what receptor? You never get to forget that. It starts with an A. It's a Greek letter. Alpha 1. And what is the neurotransmitter? Not acetylcholine, epinephrine. So those arterioles are under the control of epinephrine via the alpha-1 receptor. Never forget. All right. So the central arteries are the aorta and carotid. They are very elastic. Conduit arteries, the brachial and femoral arteries, are kind of muscular, but their idea is to shunt blood down. And then finally, we have arterioles that regulate blood flow to tissue, and they are very contractile in nature. So, why should you care as a nurse? Go ahead, ask. Why should I care as a nurse? Because of shock. What did we say shock was yesterday? Bum, 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 bum. Lack of blood pressure. Now, what do we say blood pressure does? What's its purpose? To push blood down. So, blood pressure drives blood flow. So, blood pressure drives blood flow. What happens as blood pressure begins to drop? Blood flow slows down. Eventually, you get to a point where there's so little blood flow that the body begins to starve for oxygen. That's called shock. All right, now, let's say for a moment that the cause of shock is your heart just isn't pumping well enough. As it begins to slow down its pumping and pump weaker, how is your body going to compensate?
Divert blood from areas or organs that are not necessary.
Okay, and how would it do that? How would it divert blood from organs that aren't necessary? Vasoconstriction. And what would be the hormone that would cause that? We just talked about it a second ago. Okay, epinephrine activating alpha-1 receptors is going to cause vasoconstriction in the skin and gut. And then you're going to shunt that somewhere else. So what you're really doing is you're squeezing arteries. Now, is that squeezing of arteries going to increase blood pressure? Yes. So even though the person has less cardiac output and blood flow is beginning to stop, what's blood pressure doing? It's staying the same or maybe increasing a little bit, maybe decreasing just a little bit, but it's still going to be relatively normal. Now, what's going to happen eventually as the heart continues to slow down? Eventually, the person will crash. Now, what you would like to see is a nice, steady decline, because that would tell you the person's getting worse, getting worse, getting worse, getting worse, so better do something, better do something, better do something. But that's not really what happens. What really happens is person looks okay, looks okay, looks okay, looks okay, is dead. And the reason for that is because of the compensatory mechanisms. So if we could measure blood pressure at the heart, we could detect shock much quicker. Now, what does that mean to you as the nurse? It means if a person is at risk for shock, you have to watch them very carefully. Oh, there's a rhyme. If a person is at risk for shock, watch them like a hawk. So you got to watch them very carefully if they're at risk for shock. And very small changes in blood pressure need to be taken very, very seriously. So if they're at risk for shock and you say, oh, that's just a 2 millimeter drop, well, that can mean a 10 millimeter drop centrally. You just can't measure it because you're measuring pressure here or here. So that's why we need to be aware of that difference in arterial structure.